Hi, everyone. Welcome to this week's culture segment. I am very privileged to welcome back into the studio Aaron Stern. Aaron, welcome.
Thank you. So great to be here.
Well, Aaron is a Colorado Springs native-ish type person here since he was 2 years old and has been on the staff of New Life Church here in Colorado Springs for a long, long time, running the mill, which anytime we have institute students here at Focus on the Family, we inevitably hear that they've gone to the mill. the mill. We see all the stickers all around town. Everyone has a mill sticker, whatever. But that is a vibrant community for 20-somethings over at New Life Church. But Aaron is moving on to a new venture now. He's going to be planting a church in the northern part of our state, a college town, Fort Collins, and has even now started traveling up there to get this thing going, and it will be full steam probably by the first part of the year, correct?
Yeah, that's right. We actually have our first service February 26th, okay. Sunday morning.
Yeah. Okay. So I'm sure now, you know, you have to do the traditional walk in the streets and just meeting with people and seeing
lots and lots of meetings,
praying and prayer walking. And
drinking
all.
Starbucks by the gallon.
Exactly. That's the lot of every church planter. So, well, that is very cool. Well, you also, as if you didn't have enough to do with that, you also have written a book, which is very cool. We want to talk about that here in this segment. It is called What's Your Secret? Freedom Through Confession. And this is something that people either do want to talk about or don't want to talk about. Love
that's
talking
exactly
about it when
right.
It doesn't have to do with them, I'm sure, abstractly and
yeah, we would like to confess other people's secrets.
Exactly. Well, that's what I found is kind of my gift. I just find that if I can just rebuke people and call them out on their stuff, then I can avoid talking about myself and my own issues. So it's really what I specialize in. But I just want to talk about this subject in general here for a few minutes because don't you think, and I actually want to start by saying you actually did this as an experiment with a group of young adults. You were preaching a sermon series and you decided you were going to take a step of faith and ask people to write what their secret may be, not thinking that anyone would, and tell us what happened.
Yeah, I was talking about the power of confession and the fact that God has called us to live openly and honestly, not to keep things buried in the dark recesses of the corners of our hearts. And so at the end of a sermon, I was talking about this idea, and we had put pieces of paper on everybody's chair, and I said as a baby step, I don't think this is the end goal, but as a baby step, write this down anonymously. You don't have to put your name, you don't have to put your email, nothing like that. Write it out and be as honest and specific as possible, and then put it in a basket in one of the corners of the auditorium. And we did that, and there's a little while where nobody came up, and I thought, oh, this is a bomb. But after a couple of minutes, what was happening, they were all writing them down, and after a couple of minutes, floods of people started to come forward and turn these secrets in. And over the next several weeks, I read them, and not all of them aloud, but I read them, and it was just so powerful to see what was really, truly inside people's hearts.
Hmm. And what were some of the examples? What were people sharing?
All over the board. I mean, everything from I stole a candy bar to I've had an affair. I slept with somebody when I was 12 years old. I hate my dad. I don't ever read my Bible. I mean, all over the spectrum were these things that people felt like I could never tell anyone. Mm-hmm. I could never put this out there. And I think in many ways as a pastor, it's very sobering. And it causes you to recognize as a pastor, I better make sure that what I'm talking about and the ways in which I'm engaging people is at such a deep level. There's so much going on inside of people's hearts that we don't know. And that's the reason they've kept it a secret.
Yeah. Well, really, as I was reading this, it kind of showed me two things. One, that we all sin, which we all should know. You know, we all fail. We all struggle with sin. We all, you know, fail ourselves. We fail God. We fail other people. And the second thing is we do not have community as we all think that we do. I mean, we apparently don't have these safe places where we can talk about this because when the opportunity presents itself, people obviously have things that they want to share. And for some reason, this isn't, you know, an opportunity isn't being presented to do that in a safe place and in a very confessional way, and the opportunity to grow in that, to be honest in that. And it's so interesting because, Aaron, I know you talk about this in the book, how you can flip on the news any given day, you can open your Bible any given day and read stories of people who were caught in patterns of guilt and shame and sin, and either when confronted, openly denied it. And we know what happens there. I mean, they said, what kind of politician have we not heard about where this happens? Oh, no, I did not do that. Right. No, I didn't. Oh, no. 3 days later. Well, okay, maybe I did a little bit. And it's just crazy making. We see this happen over and over again. And of course, biblical examples where leaders, you know, David and others were confronted with their sin and had to come to grips with that. But talk to us a little bit here about just what Scripture says about the human condition and why there is that pattern of concealment and why ultimately bringing sin to light is so necessary.
Well, I think you hit on several different reasons why we oftentimes will just keep it inside. And one of them is, I think that in many ways we've bought into this myth that as a Christian, as a follower of Jesus, I'm supposed to have it all together, that I'm not supposed to struggle anymore, or I'm supposed to live victoriously. Mm-hmm. And though there's some truth in that and what it means to live victoriously or live a life that's full of freedom and all of that, is that that doesn't mean that we aren't human anymore. And so, one, I think if we can embrace the fact that we are human and we live in a fallen world, and even with the power of Christ in us, that doesn't eliminate temptation, that doesn't eliminate the possibility and the our proclivity towards selfishness and sin. But then God has something to say about all of that stuff. And that is that it isn't just about, okay, hide it and act like you've got it all together because, you know, we've got to put the Christian smile on. But instead that we live an open life. And not just with God, but with one another. 1 John 1:9 says, confess your sins to God that you might be forgiven. And then in James chapter 5, verse 16, and there's many other scriptures that talk about this, but I want to highlight just this one where he says, confess your faults or your sins one to another that you might be healed. And then it goes on to say that you because the prayer of a righteous man is powerful and effective. So there's this idea of praying with one another and walking this out with one another. And it is in the opening up of your heart and being honest that the freedom is found. And I think that is counterintuitive to our selfish desires and to our nature to want to conceal and hide and bury. And so it is in some ways a believing what God has to say as true, and not necessarily going with what feels right.
Well, and here's where most Christians go, and this is especially true of those who have grown up in the church. We're overly consumed with a sin management system. And what does it look like? You know, how am I going to sin less and do good things more? And you know, we'll say that that is obviously not biblical, but it's what we're all doing. And you talk, I love the way that you say that that change isn't about behavioral modification, but it's about a heart change. Explain to us what that looks like when we really live it out.
Well, the only way that we're going to have any sort of transformation in our hearts is through the Holy Spirit. We can brush up the outside. The Pharisees did that. And Jesus identified that. You guys are good at polishing the outside of the cup, but it's the inside that is the issue. And so I think we have a tendency to want to do the things that we can control instead of surrendering our hearts and our lives to the work of the Holy Spirit. So I think what that first of all looks like is identifying things as what they are. And I think one of the things that we like to do regularly is call things struggles, weaknesses, and say, oh yeah, I'm kind of struggling with this, or you know, I'm not doing so well over here. When really what we need to do is identify it as sin. And ultimately when we do that, what that means is God is calling us to repentance. And it is in repentance. Actually, the Bible says in Isaiah chapter 30, in repentance and rest is your salvation. And so when we confess and come to God and say, I need help, I can't do this, then the grace of God, I think, is able to be poured out in our lives. If we say, well, I've got a struggle, well, then we how do we deal with the struggle? We try and get better at something. What do we do with a weakness? We try to make it a strength, you know. If it's a psychological problem or a social problem or a physiological problem or something like that, then we respond with a psychological, social, or physiological response or answer. But if we understand that this is a spiritual problem, then we have to understand that it requires a spiritual answer, and the spiritual answer is the work of Jesus in us.
You actually define two words that I want you to do for us here. You talk about the difference between conviction and condemnation, because I think a lot, none of us like either of those words, but there's a very real application for both of them that I think is helpful in distinguishing.
Yeah, it is, I don't think either one necessarily always feels good. And that, I think, is one of the things that is most important about this, is that we think, oh, well, if it's the way that God wants me to be, it's going to feel right. And I think that conviction and repentance and humility, the dying to ourself, doesn't always feel good. But there is a way in which it is going to lead towards life versus leading towards death or leading towards just self-focus. And conviction is the work of the Holy Spirit. And he's called the convictor. He convicts us of sin. And so conviction draws us to a place where he doesn't identify what is wrong with you, but instead, why did you do this? And identifying the issue or the thing that we've done. Condemnation comes from the enemy. And condemnation says, why did you? What's wrong with you? You're a liar. You're a cheat. You're a pervert. Rather than the work of the Holy Spirit, which says, why did you do this? And then tries to draws us back to Jesus and the grace of God.
Okay. So let's turn a little bit here and talk about what this actually looks like in Christian community. Because I have heard young adult after young adult tell me, I can't even find anyone who's real. I can't find a Christian community. No one's willing to be honest. It's just a bunch of hypocrites. It's so fake. It's so whatever. And I've tried this church, and now I'm in this church, and now I'm just going to go out and hike on the weekends because I can't find anyone. So how, if you're the only person in the world who gets this and who wants this to happen and who you want to be real, because I've said it on the show many times. I mean, I truly believe that there's an element of exposing sin renders it powerless. And the best way to go after Satan is to start confessing openly to one another, because when sin is hidden, that's when it has the power to take root. So if you want to make this happen, but you feel like others around you aren't getting it, what do? Do you just go plant a church? That's what you do. You go to Four Columns, you just start your own church.
Well, you are totally right that that is a big, huge cry of I want authentic community. And I think it's a great one. I think it is what God has placed within us. But it does take more than just kind of hanging out and just hoping that it's going to kind of appear out of thin air. Mm-hmm. There is some ways in which...
Well, yeah, because when you have people that haven't read their Bible in a year, you know, it's not like, these aren't the people that you're going to be like,
right,
okay,
right.
So there's relationship.
There's two words I think that we could give a couple of definitions to that I think might be helpful. And one is transparency, and the other one is vulnerability. Mm-hmm. And I think sometimes we think, well, this relationship is just going to pop up. So if I just need to be honest. So I did this last weekend, or I was actually just talking to a friend recently, my wife and I were sitting down with her, and she just told us about struggling with same-sex attraction. But she was telling us and she was transferring some information. Mm-hmm. She was being transparent. She was being very honest about what was going on in her life. What she wasn't being was vulnerable, which the difference to me is communicating information, but welcoming you in mm-hmm. to the process and into your life. And I think that's what James is talking about when he says to confess your faults and your sins one to another. And because you'll be healed. Jesus is the healer. But what James is encouraging is welcome the body of Christ in to be part of your healing. And so what I think should be happening is that we communicate information, but are also saying, like, I need you. I need you to be a part of this healing process mm-hmm. for me and with me. And so we walk it out together. And so some of the ways I think that the development of community doesn't happen is, one, we're not really welcoming people in to walk together. And two, I think we're impatient. Mm-hmm. I think this generation is very impatient because we get everything very quickly. We can get just about anything we want. On the internet, we can get our information really quickly, all that kind of thing. And good, deep, healthy, strong relationships take time.
Yeah. Very true. I heard it described once that the difference between transparency and vulnerability is it's like going to get an x-ray and you look and you see, okay, here's what's going on, versus taking a scalpel and giving it to someone and saying, okay, get in there and help me with a solution. So that's so true. Okay, now you also talk about, because we have other people that are on the other end of the spectrum and they just want to share. And you talk very much about there are some things that you don't necessarily need to confess to one another, and there are other things that are definitely good to go after. Help us kind of develop some good, healthy ways of really getting into open confession.
I think one of the things that is really valuable is, and you touched on this just a minute ago, was a real community. It communicates maybe the fact that we're not confessing in a regular sense, in a lifestyle sense, is because it indicates that we don't have the community that we feel safe with. But I also think that it is important, and there's a lot of wisdom in who you communicate with. You know, read this book and I'm going to slap my confession of what I did or what I'm doing up on Facebook. You know, that's not wisdom. But there is some people that we should be confessing to, and people we shouldn't be confessing to. And so it should be somebody that can help us. Should be, I think, somebody that has the ability to even maybe point us in the right direction. And so if there's those relationships aren't there, then that's going to take some time to find those people. It's not just I'm going to find a small group, and the first thing out of my mouth is going to be this unloading, and you know, you might find that doesn't go well, and then you think, there's no such thing as real community.
Yeah. I know in the book you use the example of, you know, guys, it's probably not best for you to go and approach a woman and be like, so anyway, I just want to confess that I've had lustful thoughts about you.
Right.
Because
not
she
very helpful.
Is going to freak out, and you're gonna find some community right there, let me tell you. Because some guy's going to come after you and like confront you on this. So, okay, well, let's just talk kind of as we wrap up here about the flip side of this conversation. And that is, I think that idea of humility and then what it looks like to truly forgive in the midst of this, because a lot of people will say, I can't be open about what I'm struggling with because I know that I'm just going to be met with rejection. And I know, especially if I have kept something hidden for years. And now what if I go after a family member and I say, I really need to share this, or one of my best friends? And how do I know what's going to happen on the other side? I guess you're not going to know, but how can we kind of deal with those fears?
Yeah, and I, you know, we've talked a lot about sin and the things that we might be doing or have done as the secrets that we confess. But I think some of the other secrets that we bury in our hearts are secrets of things that have been done to us. Mm-hmm. And those are the things that we might not have had any choice over. But at the same time, even though we didn't choose them, they can create, and we can carry shame around because we think, well, why did I get raped, or why did I get molested, or why did I get treated this way, or something like that. And a lot of those circumstances, all of them, certainly sin, we have to forgive ourselves. If somebody else doing something to us, we forgive other people. And it is in the process of forgiving and letting people go that we will find some freedom. In other words, we might say, I did this, or somebody did this to me. And yet if we don't forgive them in our hearts, it's still got a foothold in us. And I heard somebody say one time that to not forgive, we feel like we're doing something to the other person, but really it's like drinking rat poison and waiting for the other person to die.
Mm-hmm. Exactly. Well, and this is where I call upon the wisdom of Medea in Diary of a Mad Black Woman, where she says, it's the mother in the situation whose daughter was in a domestic abuse situation. And she says, you know, as long as you don't forgive him, he still holds the power over you.
That's exactly right.
And so it's true. It's like what you said. You know, we think we're just hunkering down and saying, okay, well, I'm going to stick it to him. I'm going to stick it to him. And we're the ones that are just suffering.
Yeah. And I think that those things, when we don't deal with those things, whether it's the secrets or the unforgiveness, it will come out sideways. Mm-hmm. And several years ago, I was painting our house. I'm kind of a fix-it guy, and I was painting our house, and I had the big, huge 5-gallon bucket of paint in the middle of the driveway. My wife didn't see it, got in the car, backed out, and spilled the paint all over the place. I was up on the roof. I saw it. I couldn't get down fast enough to stop her. And paint everywhere. And I came down off the roof and I went ballistic. Mm-hmm. Not on her. I just was so angry. I was throwing some expletives around. And it's not like me. I went nuts. And my wife later was like, Aaron, are you okay? What's the matter? Like, my response to that particular incident indicated there was something else going on. I mean, spilled paint is a hassle and it's a bummer, but I went nuts. And as I spent time thinking about it, I realized I've got some other issues in my heart, and it had to do with unforgiveness, that I was angry at somebody else. And this just was kind of it was like the cap came off, and mm-hmm. it just, all this other anger came out. And I think we should pay attention to things like that, mm-hmm. where we have these experiences where we kind of explode, or we react in a strong way, and indicating the fact that there's something else going on inside. And we should pay attention okay, there's somebody else I'm angry with, I need to forgive, and start to deal with it.
Absolutely. Well, cool. The book is What's Your Secret? Freedom Through Confession. I've been talking to Aaron Stern here and would love for you all to write into us, editor@boundless.org, or post here on the podcast post about maybe your experience with this. You know, do you have real relationships and real community where you're feeling free to share on this level? And if not, why not? And so maybe join the conversation with us here and definitely check out the book. We have it linked right there in our podcast post. So that you can kind of explore further some of the things that we've been discussing. So, Aaron, thanks so much for getting us started, just the tip of the iceberg on this. We didn't even get into respectable sins, like Jerry Bridges says, you know, all those ones where it's like, what, is that really a sin? No, that's just my personality, you know? Oh, yeah, I blow that one wide open. So that's me. So thank you so much.
Thank you so much for having me.